Now more with Frank Gaffney.
We're back. It's a pleasure to say, joined by Kevin Freeman, a senior fellow at the Center for Security Policy, I'm proud to say, also a best-selling author with two terrific books to his credit, Secret Weapon and Game Plan. He is also the driving force behind a terrific blog, really must-reading, called the GlobalEconomicWarfare.com blog. He is as well soon to be a star of stage and screen in his own television program, Economic War Room, with Kevin Freeman. It's a delight to have him with us. Welcome back, Kevin. Good to have you.
Thank you, Frank. Good to be here.
So, much to talk about. Let's move smartly. Trade war with China seems to be looming, though some are saying negotiations may militate against that. There are also threats by the Chinese to retaliate in a non-trade vector, and that would be by not buying our debt instruments. Talk about all of that, and not least the implications were they to carry out that threat, Kevin Freeman.
Sure. Well, that is a direct threat that the Chinese, they own over $1 trillion worth of our debt. We owe approximately $20 trillion. We owe a lot of it to ourselves, a lot to the Federal Reserve, but we also owe a lot to foreign governments, the largest of which would be China. And the Chinese have long said they want to de-dollarize the world. And they mentioned here that if we hold their feet to the fire on proper fair trade practices, that they may just stop buying our debt and at some point may start dumping it. Just imagine if they stop buying debt, where do we sell our ever-increasing debt, especially with these $1.3 trillion omnibus spending bill and the fact that we owe $21 trillion worldwide now, and it's growing much faster than our receipts. So it's an ominous threat. And it was coupled with, in China Daily, they actually mentioned that they could perhaps undermine our stock market and start dumping stocks or use other means to cause our stock market to crash.
Yeah. These are, of course, the sorts of techniques that you have been warning about for quite some time in connection with what the Chinese People's Liberation Army colonels called in 1999 unrestricted warfare. And indeed, some of the threats seem to have been already put in place. The Chinese have reduced their purchases of our debt, as I understand it, and sold some of it. And I guess the question is, Kevin, at what point does the interest rate have to be adjusted to reflect reduced interest in those debt instruments? And what are the implications for that, for the increasing budget deficit and overall national debt?
Well, as long as the world has confidence that the Federal Reserve is in control, then they have the ability to maintain interest rates within certain channels. What happens when it goes really bad, if the Chinese achieve their objective of removing the dollar as the reserve currency of the world and foreign nations don't choose to keep their excess earnings in U.S. dollars, then we get into a circumstance not dissimilar to what's happened in Venezuela, happened in Zimbabwe, where the government is, in essence, monetizing. They're printing the money to pay off the debt. And we hope we never get there, and China may not be able to get us there, but that's clearly something they've mentioned doing.
Let me turn to a couple of other things, Kevin, one of which may have something to do with the Chinese as well. There has been a report that caught my eye, and I think yours as well, concerning a conversion of U.S. telecom software, I guess, and it has been contracted out to a foreign firm. In Sweden, as I recall, with at least one Chinese national in the mix, which created a considerable stir, as that transparently raises the specter of potential hostile action against this critically important infrastructure. Tell us what you know about this, Kevin, and whether it should be of concern to the rest of us.
Well, basically, the company that keeps track of whose phone number is whose and how you reach people via the telephone networks is outside the United States. They've been given a contract, as you mentioned, and they found that there was a Chinese engineer in the mix, and that was a violation of their agreement. And so they had to go back and restart, and it cost over $300 million to redo this or something. This is just breaking as a story, and the Center for Security Policy has been good to help make us aware of it. It's frightening. We cannot, just like we argued, we should not give control of the domain naming entity ICANN to a non-U.S. entity. There's no reason whatsoever that we should give this to a non-U.S. company.
Well, I just can't fathom it. Again, this raises the question that we so often discuss with you, Kevin, with your expertise in economic warfare. Who's on deck in terms of trying to make sure that these clearly fraught decisions involving national security, not just economic equities, but national security, are properly weighed against the possibility that hostile foreign powers or even putatively friendly foreign powers may take advantage of vulnerabilities we're creating. Isn't there a Committee on Foreign Investment in the United States kind of apparatus that is overseeing these sorts of transactions, even if they don't involve foreign investment?
The problem is that most of these actions are being taken by our own government. And this is going to happen on April 8th from the Federal Communications Commission mandate. And no one really is looking, because we don't have this recognition that we're in a global economic war. We start from the assumption that it's a global marketplace. And so we really are asleep at the switch.
Another example that is also worrying, we've just reported on at the Center for Security Policy, the third in a series of papers on the subject of a company called Gulftainer out of the Persian Gulf. It's a company that is majority owned by the family of the man who was Saddam Hussein's nuclear bomb maker. And this company, believe it or not, if things couldn't get worse, has a joint venture with a Russian company that specializes in configuring cruise missile launchers in standard shipping containers so as to conceal their presence aboard ships. I mean, these are unbelievably dubious people to have running container operations in one American port, namely Port Canaveral, let alone prospectively a second one in Wilmington, Delaware. Kevin Freeman, I know you've looked at this. What on earth is going on, and what should be done about these sorts of transactions?
Well, this smacks of something more than just being asleep at the switch. This is outright subversion. I don't know where the decision was made. I don't know exactly how it happened, but it puts our nation at risk, our physical security at direct risk, and it's being done under the guise of a commercial transaction. And that's where most of our enemies are taking advantage now, is they're taking what seem to be commercial transactions, and they're using them for their threat to our national security.
Yeah. You know, our colleague Roger Robinson, who worked in the Reagan administration, in fact, was an architect of President Reagan's strategy for taking down the Soviet Union using economic warfare against it, interestingly enough, has been warning for years that we are very much susceptible to the argument that as long as something is a commercial transaction, that there shouldn't really be any second guessing whether there's a larger national stake, let alone a national security stake involved. This is madness and the height of irresponsibility. I believe that this original Gulftainer transaction went down under President Obama and Secretary of State John Kerry's watch, but it is overdue for revisiting in the context of Port Canaveral, let alone the idea of allowing it to be replicated at other key ports, including one that's well within cruise missile range of New York City and Washington, D.C., namely Wilmington, Delaware. Kevin, let me switch gears for one more assessment of yours in terms of a problem that you've been warning about for some time. It was a very important feature of your book, Game Plan, namely the prospect that our electric grid could be susceptible to one form of interference or another, particularly a deliberate attack by our enemies. Just in the past 10 days or so, there have been two reports, one by the Department of Homeland Security, that the Russians had inserted malware inside the electric grid's cyber systems and that the Iranians had apparently gotten inside the servers of the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. Give us your assessment of how serious a problem these incidents represent, and whether they don't bespeak a really grievous danger to the most critical of our critical infrastructures.
Well, you know, as we're being interviewed, I told you before we started the interview, the power at my office was out this morning. It was out because of weather, but it's just amazing how little you can accomplish when the power is out. There's no question that the Russians, the Iranians, the Chinese, and the North Koreans are fully aware of our dependence on the electric grid, and they have taken measures, and they continue to take measures to put us at risk there. And we've known this. When the intrusions first happened, we talked about the fact that it was likely Russia, and now the government's officially come out and admitted as much. We've also talked about the Iranians. They've gone after every critical infrastructure we have, and at the pace of all of it is at the ability to have power. And as the EMP Commission has warned, if the power grid were down for a sustained period, up to a year, it would be a nation-ending event.
Well, your leadership in articulating what that would look like, Kevin Freeman, at globaleconomicwarfare.com, in your various writings, and I know in your new series, Economic War Room with Kevin Freeman, all of these are incalculably important, and I'm so grateful to you for spending time with us each week here at Secure Freedom Radio to discuss some of the most important of your findings. We'll look forward to doing so again with you next week. Next up, we'll be speaking with Nina Shea about religious freedom in the Middle East and elsewhere, right after this.
Go to SecureFreedomRadio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.